And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is An Organic Conversation with Helga Hellberg.
Hello and welcome to An Organic Conversation, a show about organic foods, relationships, and life itself. I'm Helga Hellberg. I hope you had a great week. For me, I had an exceptionally eventful and quite confusing week, and the clarity about what happened last week just came last night when I prepared for the show. I was invited on Monday night to be part of a preview of the film Food Inc., which is coming to theaters on June 12th, followed by a panel discussion with San Francisco Bay Area organizations, nonprofits such as Food and Water Watch, Pesticide Action Network North America, and the California Center for Public Health Advocacy. Amazing organizations that have done fantastic work over the last years to change awareness and to make this world a better place. Food Inc. is an important movie for anyone and everyone who cares about food, and it features interviews with Michael Pollan, The Omnivore's Dilemma and In Defense of Food author, and Eric Schlosser, author of Fast Food Nation, and reports on some of the darkest areas of cruelty in the production of the food we eat. The movie is extremely powerful, and I was really affected by it. I was torn between appreciating the intention and, as the movie went on, at one point rejecting it for the cruelty it shows. So I was sitting there knowing that I would be part of the panel discussion afterwards, and I had to make a choice. Either let this movie not fully affect me so that I can be the role of executive director of Marin Organic, or let myself feel what I feel and not really knowing if I could give a great presentation afterwards. I was struggling with that conversation in my body between heart and mind, trying to answer the question, how can I choose numbness right now when I'm sad about the numbness of the meatpacking workers in the movie that I'm watching? That seemed completely inauthentic and dishonest, and so I choose to let myself fully feel the movie. When it was over, a minute later, I sat on the stage as part of the panel, and I just knew I couldn't just launch into my regular talk. My heart was beating, and the scenes of the movie were still very much in my head and in my body, and so I expressed on the panel that I'm struggling with the message of the movie, with the display of cruelty and violence, and that I was wondering if anything good really could come out of it. I said that my soul is fed by the work of Marin Organic. I said that I'm getting nurtured by amazing farmers, by stories from the land, progressive ideas, and first and foremost, hope and beauty. And that I don't know how we could possibly hold both, the dichotomy and necessity, perhaps, of displaying cruelty and to such a degree in the pursuit of creating beauty and positive change. Isn't the motivation out of watching cruelty anger or fear? And can there ever be anything beautiful come out of anger or fear? Or will that be the motivation that you can follow through the entire creation, like a silk thread? And who are we to display the organic movement as the solution and the industrial food industry as the evil other when it is all about engagement and integration and changing things by becoming a part of it because we already are a part of it? And so I sat on the panel and went on and on and on. I realized last night, though, while all these thoughts and feelings, of course, are valid and were mine in that moment, I realized that my motivation in that moment came at least in part from fear myself. The fear that if we don't all love, we will fail as a movement. And in following my fear, completely without knowing, in debating my thoughts with the audience and building a space as in me and the other, between me and my fellow panelists, I, myself, created the second greatest force that stands in the way of transformation and positive change, which is separation. So everything I so strongly stood against that night, the separation, the being motivated by fear, the me and the other, in that moment, I had become myself. What a lesson. I finally got the meaning of Gandhiji's "Be the change that you want to see in the world," Because what he's actually saying is not change without being right, but change by being loving. Barry Lopez says, "How is one to live a moral and compassionate existence when one is fully aware of the blood, the horror inherent in life, when one finds darkness not only in one's culture, but within oneself? If there is a stage at which an individual life becomes truly adult, it must be when one grasps the irony of its unfolding and accepts responsibility for a life lived in the midst of such paradox. One must live in the middle of contradiction, because if all contradiction were eliminated at once, life would collapse." There are simply no answers to some of the great pressing questions. You continue to live them out, making your life a worthy expression of leaning into the light. I guess this week I became an adult. Food Inc., the film, in theaters on June 12th, and yet it is hard to watch, and yes, it is important to watch it anyway. I'm excited about my guest today, Michael O'Gorman from the Farmer Veteran Coalition, and we will be talking about the healing work of placing war veterans onto organic farms. But we'll take a break for a minute.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You say one love, one life,
one life,
one need, one night. One love,
one
get to share it. Leaves you, darling. You don't care for it.
Leave a bad taste in your mouth. You act like you never had love, and you want me to go without. When it's too late tonight to drag the past out.
So, good morning again. Thanks for listening. This is An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg. I'm so grateful for our guest today, Michael O'Gorman from the Farmer Veteran Coalition, and we will be talking for an hour about the amazing work of placing war veterans onto organic farms, helping them to learn job skills, but also very much so letting them heal in an environment that can provide that perhaps best. But first, here's Dan McGovern with the news.
This is Sustainable Food News, your weekly news service on An Organic Conversation. I'm Dan McGovern. Honeybees add more than $15 billion in crop value to the agriculture industry every year, pollinating one-third of all the food we eat, including tomatoes, apples, broccoli, and berries. But a federal survey released this week shows honeybee colony losses are continuing nationwide at a rate of 29%. The survey covered the overwintering season, September to April, and checked on about 20% of the country's estimated 2.3 million honeybee colonies. It's been 3 years since the alarm first sounded over the sudden mass disappearance of honeybees, a condition called colony collapse disorder, or CCD. Nearly one-third of all of the honeybee colonies in the United States and the United Kingdom have vanished. The cause of CCD is still unknown. From pesticide exposure and parasitic mites to climate change and habitat loss, explanations for the disappearance are many, but real answers remain elusive. Further research is ongoing, and the USDA said a complete analysis of its survey data will be published later this year. A new sustainable food guidebook for hospitals was published this week by the United Kingdom's Department of Health. Ben Bradshaw, Minister of State for Health, said the sustainability of food will soon become a chief factor by which patients choose health care providers. He said healthier, more sustainable food in hospitals may help to speed patient recovery times and encourage positive lifestyle changes outside the hospital for both patients and staff. In the United States, the annual total health care market for food and beverages is estimated at $12 billion. Nearly 250 U.S. hospitals have already signed the Health Care Without Harm Pledge to provide local, sustainable foods, including organic produce, grass-fed beef raised without antibiotics or hormones, and fair trade coffee. The California-based health system, Kaiser Permanente, launched a farmer's market at its Oakland Hospital in 2003 and now has farmer's markets at dozens of medical sites. First Lady Michelle Obama's decision to grow a White House organic garden appears to have planted a trend for other local and world governments. Organic peppers, squash, carrots, and herbs were planted Friday at the Pennsylvania governor's residence in a new garden that Chris Ryder of the Department of Agriculture told Sustainable Food News will absolutely not use any pesticides. The garden is intended to highlight the possibilities of home gardening as a means to help families cope with tighter household budgets. Meanwhile, leaders of the British organic food industry met Thursday with the government's environment minister and urged him to follow the First Lady's lead and get Prime Minister Gordon Brown to grow organic produce at his residence, 10 Downing Street. This is Sustainable Food News, your weekly news service on an organic conversation. I'm Dan McGovern.
Thanks so much, Dan. The bees, $15 billion in crop losses. Can we dive into that a little bit? What are the main crops affected? I read that every third bite we take is the result of a bee. So what crops are affected if we don't have bees?
Well, I mentioned a few tomatoes. There's cucumbers, broccoli, pumpkins, berries, all sorts of berries, cherries, almonds, avocados. The list goes on and on. Most of these are specialty crops. They don't include things like corn and soy, which are the biggest crops that we have in U.S. agriculture.
So specialty crops in this case, for the listeners, are actually crops that we eat, not commodity crops, but everything like vegetables and fruit that actually ends up on our plates directly.
That's
as a food item.
Right, real familiar items you see in the produce section.
So $15 billion just reflects the number. What's really the story behind that? Where will this food now come from? Because it means because we don't have bees, we don't have the same amount of food available. Is that right? Or will that be compensated through imports?
Well, it's compensated right now with there are bees that are trucked around. For instance, Maine here. Maine is the largest producer of blueberries in the world. And a lot of the growers here have to rely on bees being trucked in from down south. To help pollinate the plants and keep their industry thriving. But they're seeing pollination costs up 80% because the demand for bees is so high because of the die-offs. So it's while the $15 billion of agriculture goods is threatened, right now there's really no way of knowing how far that's going to go in the coming months or years.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't speak for bees, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know that bees are so hyper intelligent and complex beings, and we will actually have a show coming up in a few weeks just about bees, the way they mate, and the way it's incredible. I wonder how hard the shipping them around. When I hear trucking bees around, I wonder if that affects the bees and with that affects their productivity and the very work that they do for us. Do you have any data on that, or have you heard of that?
Well, I do know that it's trucking around animals for transport, for slaughter and things like that can be very damaging to their nervous system, which can impact the meat that we buy. I haven't seen any specific data on transportation of bees, but I can imagine it's not their natural habitat, so it would invariably cause some harm.
Yes. Well, it brings up the importance of place, of locale, of terroir. And existing healthy ecosystems will be able to support, of course, healthy insect life as well. So you said there's no conclusive evidence on this bee colony collapse disorder.
That's correct. There are a lot of, there is more research going on, and pesticides look to be one culprit that many groups are not only suing the Environmental Protection Agency over, but also claiming that, that's what's causing the disappearance. Some of the chemicals that are used can stick to the plants, and they bring these bees when they go back to the colony, where, anywhere from 30,000 to 80,000 bees can be in a colony. They're going in and out of this hive constantly to go pollinate, and when they go back to the honeycomb and they do their special dance to let the others know where to go next for the next batch of flowers or the next batch of to go pollinate, they're tracking that in there, and they're saying that they're just not coming back to the hive. They just get lost because their nervous system is impacted by the pesticides they're carrying around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the explanations out there.
Yeah, that dance, I've only seen it a couple of times, that the entire group around that dancing bee within a few minutes or seconds understands the entire topography of the area. And I think scientists are trying to figure out what code they are using to understand that. And I'm sure we never will. Brilliant. Thanks so much, Dan. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks,
you'll be
Logan.
Back next week. That's Dan McGovern of Sustainable Food News. And my guest today is Michael O'Gorman. Michael, what do you make out of bees? Have you ever seen that dance?
As a vegetable producer for the last 40 years, bees are a huge part of our life, and they totally affect any, just the slight drops in population affect your yields, particularly in the cucurbits and cucumbers and squashes, but also in tomatoes. And, the only insight I have into it is in the same way that swine flu and diseases come out of nowhere, and we're such a interdependent and quickly traveling world right now, that the bees are traveling at mm-hmm. that same rate that they didn't used to before. And so any disease is easily spread,
Yes. Well, thank you for coming to the studio today. It's really a pleasure to have you here. And even though I could just talk about bees with you for an hour,
exactly,
I'm sure you're actually here to talk about the Farmer Veteran Coalition. What have you started? What's that project?
Well, the Farmer Veteran Coalition, what we say is it's farmers helping veterans and veterans helping farmers. It's the farming and food industry coming together. It's not just organic. We want to really include everybody in this process. The reality is young people going into farming these days tend to go into the organic industry, and that tends to be also who's helped us start the project. But we're helping what we call the post 9/11 veterans, or they call it the OIF or OEF veterans. There's 2 million young men and women have left the military since 9/11, and our goal is to reach 0.5% of them, which is 10,000, and help them either find a career in agriculture, or if they're going back to their family farms, help them sustain their movement back onto their family farms. In some cases, we're helping a couple young men who got injured in Iraq go back to their family farms, but help them not only overcome the obstacles that their able-bodied parents had in holding onto their farms, but the added handicap of their physical injuries.
So when you say you help them, what do you mean by that? What do you offer in terms of services or?
Well, we're a new organization. We've been putting ourselves together for almost 2 years now. But just this last February, we actually became an organization. We became a project of community partners out of Los Angeles. So they became our fiscal sponsor. We set up a board of directors. We opened an office in Davis, and And a couple weeks ago, we got our first sizable donation, an anonymous donation that has helped move our project forward. And so the help is we see ourselves as being somewhat of a clearinghouse. When we hear from young vets, and in some cases we're hearing from active duty service members that have heard about our organization, and they say, hey, that sounds cool. When I come out, I'd like to be learn how to farm. So, for example, real recent, about 6 months ago, we heard from a young man who said he was an Army Ranger and that he was coming out in the spring and moving home to his parents' home in Santa Rosa. And as it got closer, I wrote him and said, well, what type of farming do you want to do? You know what you're interested in. And being from Santa Rosa in Sonoma County, said, boy, I'm interested in viticulture. And within 10 days of being home, we had him a job with Bacchus Vineyard Management, and I went up and visited him. He was driving tractor and working outside, and was tanned and dirty, and just really happy to be outside, and really felt like he found his vocation and had a really nice, smooth transition.
So mainly it's the placement of war veterans onto farms throughout the United States.
It could be either as a job. We have three major directions we could channel people into. One is employment. One is into school or training. For instance, we help place a vet into the prestigious program at UC Santa Cruz, the CASFIS agroecology program down there, and then help them get financing through the Bay Area's, San Francisco's Sword to Plowshares organization. Or it can be helping them get their own farms. There's a young Iraq vet farming in Fairfield doing this second year in the Bay Area that we've been helping mentor him. But he's starting a CSA on his own with his partner and girlfriend, Lily. And so we help mentor those that are going into farming. We help steer into schools. We help anything. And in some cases, it's a combination of all three for people looking for a new career. You know, it's a combination of getting some education, some job training, and eventually some help, you know, flying on their own.
And I'm sure beyond the job skill there, beyond the job skill, there's a healing component of working with the soil. I know that from my own experience. I want to talk with you about that next. My guest today, Michael O'Gorman from the Farmer Veteran Coalition. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960, and we'll be right back.
And giving your thanks to our seas, my respect to the ones in the forest, standing up for our old trees, them giving food to the hungry, hope to the need again, life to a baby again. Careful free, cause there is freedom around us. We have everything we need, and I will care for you, cause you care for me. And we all have opinions, some of them get through, but there's better people with more good to do, good to do. Some words from my heart, my respect to the ones making changes for other lives. They'll give their own, like giving food to the hungry again, hope to the needy again, life to a baby, giving care for free, cause there is freedom around us. We have everything we need, and I will care.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Svatica Skincare. Founded by Janet Lee Katzen, Svatica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Svatica Skincare products and the Svatica Spa, visit svatica.com. That's svatika.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. For more information on Marin Organic, its producer members, supporting businesses, and on how to contribute, please visit marinorganic.org.
Sustainable Food News is the premier source of daily news and market information for the organic, sustainable, and natural food industries. Headline after headline, Sustainable Food News reports on a profound shift in food buying habits as more and more people begin to understand the impact of their purchases on the environment and communities around the world. Join Dan McGovern, publisher of Sustainable Food News, every Saturday morning on An Organic Conversation. For more information, visit www.sustainablefoodnews.com.
And we are back. This is An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helga Hellberg, and today I'm speaking with Michael O'Gorman from the Farmer Veteran Coalition. Michael, you just explained that the Farmer Veteran Coalition is a clearinghouse for job skills for war veterans that want to learn the skill, the occupation of agriculture, and also a forum to find a placement on a farm. Do you find land for farmers as well? Has that happened?
Yes, that's happened here in California through California Farm Link. So we're allying ourselves with the network of support groups. For instance, as you know, we have a project where we hope to get support and place a farmer veteran caseworker through Marin Organics to focus on Marin County and Sonoma County and the North Bay as a region. So we're using the existing network of organizations. We're not trying to replicate what other people are doing, but to train people in the specific needs of these young men and women, and also the specific programs that are available to help them.
So how did you get into this? What is motivating you in your work? How did you find this to be your path right now?
Well, it's a bit of a long and somewhat personal story. But I've been a farmer for 40 years. I've been a vegetable farmer in the I've done a number of different types of farms. But in the last 20 years, I've been what you call in the industry the farm manager or the production manager for three of the largest organic farms, and the Farmer Veteran Coalition is adamant that it's a political neutral group that and it's made up of people of all sorts of opinions about the war and wars, but we did have a previous to that we did have a group called Farms Not Arms, which dealt with war issues a lot, formed after 9/11, but just because the issues of Farms Not Arms, you know, we really believe that the wars of this century aren't going to be forget oil. They're going to be about food and land and water and people and countries' ability to feed themselves. So, but we did that organization. We did come across a study that showed the incredibly disproportionate number of men and women who had died in Iraq, in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, coming from small towns in America, that 20% 20% came from towns of under 5,000 people, and 50% came from towns of under 25,000 people. And so we really realized that the military today is made of small-town America, partly because of the patriotism and partly because of the collapse of the family farm and the opportunities in rural America. And we kind of put the two things together. And we felt like, you know, so we called a meeting to discuss creating jobs on the farms, and that's where the inspiration started.
You elegantly avoided bringing in your personal background, and where did you come in? You as a person, why you? How did you grow up?
Well, like you said, I've the only thing that I've been a farmer for 40 years, but I've also been was raised as a religious pacifist, and I've been a pacifist my entire life since my youth, and been inspired to that, but also. So that's been at 9/11, my oldest daughter had gone off to and got her master's degree in international finance from Columbia, and taken work in the building facing the World Trade Center, and was there at ground zero at 9/11, and my youngest son went and joined the military about a week or so later. We also almost... I've been managing production in the north half of Baja and part of the peninsula for Del Cabo, wonderfully progressive tomato company out of Mexico, and the border got shut down for several weeks. And so this everything became very personal. War becomes personal. And when we had our meeting to discuss about jobs on the farms, we had about six farmers at Jim Cochran's farm and Swanton Berry Farm north of Santa Cruz. We had maybe six local farmers come, but we also, the Blue had three different women showed up, Helga, who had lost their sons in Iraq and Afghanistan, Dolores Kesterson, Nadia McCaffrey, who's on our board today, and Mary Tillman, who lost her son, Pat Tillman, the renowned football player. And we realized that our farms had something to heal, the depth of what we had in terms of healing for was not just for who was maybe placed on the farm, but maybe it was for our entire country, you know. So the thing took on a real different dimension.
So what are the stories that you've seen or observed or heard where actually what you're touching on is the transformative power of working with soil, right?
Absolutely. And they, you know, when we all know that the power of the earth and the power of producing something, the power of producing something from the earth, and the power of doing something good and growing food and doing something that's needed and necessary. And to hear it, you know, when we present our project to the young men and women, many of them who are still in the military and our access to being able to present to them is really growing exponentially right now. The vets themselves that have worked with us say, don't say we need help, you know. It says, we need help. We need the healing, but don't say that. Tell us about the opportunity in farming right now, that this is a good time to go into farming, that... you know, the average farmer is almost 60 years old, and our population's increasing, our land base is going down, our water base is going down, the cost of importing food is going to go through the roof. And support for local farming, support for local and organic food going into the hospitals, like was on the news, is creating a whole new time and opportunity, and there's no unemployment once you become a farmer. You'll never be unemployed.
So by focusing on the opportunity, we're actually not focusing on the trauma, which would give the trauma more power, right? We are just,
we received a donation a couple weeks ago, as I mentioned, Helga, through the California Community Fund in their Iraq and Afghan Deployment Impact Fund, and that allowed us to become into a part of and to attend the second annual convention of the Coalition of Iraq and Afghan Veterans. And so the Farmer Veteran Coalition now is a part of a network of 50 other veteran support groups. And so we have access to these wonderful groups like Coming Home Project out of San Francisco, which gives psychologists that give free counseling, to groups that help with brain injury, the groups that help with post-traumatic stress. And we're farmers. That's what we have to offer. You know, some people, I went to visit one of the injured farmers we work with one time, and with somebody that's interested in doing a movie and a book and a story about it. And he started asking some pretty probing questions about his injuries, and the stories were pretty amazing. And afterwards I told him, I said, you know, I've never asked those questions. I talked to him about berries, you know, I talked to him about the dairy farming, you know, because that's my role with them is, and but we definitely link up with this whole other support.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg, and I'm speaking with Michael O'Gorman from the Farmer Veteran Coalition and all the amazing work of taking care of our veterans from the Iraq and Afghanistan war. But you actually mentioned when we talked before the show that it goes all the way back to wars that already happened. You got support from even Vietnam vets. Is that
we right? have last week, one of the really exciting projects we're working with is the concept of creating wellness centers on farms. And so just last week, today, Saturday, I was in Sauk Center, Minnesota, about 2 hours north of Minneapolis, with Nadia McCaffrey and Mary Tillman, and actually five Gold Star mothers. The group includes the two top allopathic doctors from the Mayo Clinic, one of the nation's most renowned clinics there, and a number of Minnesota businessmen. The idea is to convert an old school and farm that was started a century ago for young girls to go to carry out their pregnancies, and it's a beautiful facility and a beautiful farm, and the idea is to turn this into a working farm and a place where veterans can go and receive care and treatment while working on the land, while receiving job training and all the different aspects of green job training, and we're working with projects like this in four or five other states also. So
beautiful. Can you share a story, one or two, where you have seen the transformational power of soil in your work hands-on, in others or in yourself?
I've seen it in myself. I like to understate things, but just 2 days ago, I was sitting with a young man in a trailer camp east of Los Angeles, and he's getting ready to go back to the farm that he grew up on in Central Florida, and we've been helping him. He grew up in a long lineage of blueberry farmers, and he got injured twice in Iraq. The first time he was shot in his stomach, and he still shows the wounds from that, but they patched him up and sent him back out. And then 3 days before he was to get out, a mortar blew up in front of him. And he's what's technically a 100% disability rating. And the other day was the first time I saw him walk without a cane. He's been getting excellent treatment to learn to handle his vertigo. He can walk 10, 15 feet now without a cane. But he's starting a farm where he's going to plant the blueberries in 30-gallon containers and a high bush varieties, so that the whole farm will be wheelchair accessible to himself not in a wheelchair, but so other veterans with war injuries, as he said, with no legs or one arm, you could still pick the blueberries. And he's got a tremendous sense when you sit and talk to him of the a personal understanding of his own journey and what the farming means to him.
Thank you for sharing that. We'll be right back after the break.
Well, I will drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I'll show out the ferry boats and they'll get high on a blue ocean against tomorrow's sky. And I will never grow so old again. And I will walk and talk in gardens all wet with rain. Oh, oh. Sweet thing, sweet thing.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Svatika Skincare. Founded by Janet Lee Katzen, Svatika is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Svatika Skincare products and the Svatika Spa, visit svatika.com. That's Svatika.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. For more information on Marin Organic, its producer members, supporting businesses, and on how to contribute, please visit marinorganic.org.
Sustainable Food News is the premier source of daily news and market information for the organic, sustainable, and natural food industries. Headline after headline, Sustainable Food News reports on a profound shift in food buying habits as more and more people begin to understand the impact of their purchases on the environment and communities around the world. Join Dan McGovern, publisher of Sustainable Food News, every Saturday morning on An Organic Conversation. For more information, visit www.sustainablefoodnews.com.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg, and today my guest, Michael O'Gorman from the Pharma Veteran Coalition. And Michael, you were just sharing that there's a blueberry farm in Florida, I believe.
It's coming together. He's got the plant started. Yes.
That will be wheelchair accessible, so he will plant his blueberries in bins.
In 30-gallon containers, and so they'll grow above ground, so they'll be, the proper height. Yeah.
While that is incredible, how does he plan to be economically viable with that? Because even though the varieties, bush varieties, yield a fair crop, but how can you possibly compete against other farms?
I don't know if that's his ultimate goal, or if that's the ultimate goal on this farm. We're actually trying to do some fundraising to help him get the amount of berries planted. He'd like to do 5 acres. But so in this case, in most of the other cases, people are looking. But we have a lot of ideas, you know.
You came up with a name for the farm that was...
One of my brilliant longtime sales partners, Deborah, came up with the idea of red, white, and blueberries. And she said that people would certainly pay a premium for them.
And recognize the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, in farming in Mexico in the last 12 years, some of the exciting things that I got to do at Del Cabo the last couple of years was learning indoor production. And really, people don't think of Mexico as being, technically advanced compared to agriculture in the United States, but it is much so. And, we're growing indoor tomatoes that grow 25 to 30 feet tall and are pollinated by bumblebees and things like this. And, you know, sales that could be $300,000 or $400,000 an acre. And that's wholesale level. And, you know, I just think that as an industry and leaders and mentors and those of us that come together that have spent 30 or 40 years in production, come together to support a project like this, that we can find ways to make agriculture sustainable financially for these people.
And there's a growing segment of the people that understand the health benefits of organic production and the benefits for the environment, and but out of that group of people who are now choosing more and more healthy foods, there is a segment of people that truly pays for the story of the food, right?
Absolutely.
More and more people recognize that the story is actually what we are buying. Everything we put in our bodies within minutes is in our blood system and in our body, literally. And so it is important that we pay attention to what stories we put into our bodies.
Absolutely.
You had a thought on healing.
Well, I mean, just saying, Helga, that everybody, the obvious answer to healing and farming almost goes without stating, you know, the power of nature and the power of the earth and the power of producing food. But there's a whole other aspect of this project that I've learned from the young men and women myself. And it's something from my perspective of not having been in the military that I didn't think of on my own. And they all say the same thing. They say, Michael, we didn't go in the military because it was easy. We went because it was hard. And I thought, and like you said in your story, you know, like last night, how the light clicked in your head, you know, and the light clicked in my head, and realized that's a lot where the healing is, and that they say a lot of the depression that these young soldiers come through when they come home is that lack of challenge and that lack of value and challenge that our society has given, particularly in the last 30 or 40 years. To people, particularly blue-collar people and people, the value of having strong arms and a strong back and doing real work. And our society, our economy kind of went off track. Maybe that's coming around, and maybe this project has a little bit to do with that too, you know. But a lot of the healing is in giving something of value to do that...
Yeah, there is. That's an interesting thought. There is a notion or perception that I have, or amongst people, I believe, where there's a kind of a naivete if people go to the military. You know, there's a yes, they want to serve the country, but they don't really realize that they might lose their lives. And I do think actually they do. They actually
they not only realize it, but you know, to get to know Mary Tillman and read her book and her story about her son and
what's the title of that book?
Mary Tillman's story. Boots on the Ground. I'm not sure. I might have it wrong.
The author's Mary Tillman.
Mary Tillman, and it's about her son Pat. Yes. And I read it and sent it to my son, who's serving in Kuwait right now, and he'll be home in the 2nd of July, back to my four grandchildren. But to understand you know, the idealism with which somebody walked away from a $6 million contract, to whatever you thought or think of these wars, these young men and women went in for all the right reasons, and we're trying to channel those into those same sort of you know, that determination, that grit, you know that where that kind of strength where you get injured twice and you can spend the rest of your life on disability, but you're not going to take it. You're going to go back. You have to do something. You have to, you know, you have to stand up and challenge that, you know, channel that strength into, you know, serve your country through growing food.
Yeah, complex, very complex topic. If people want to know and learn more, you have become an organization at this point.
Absolutely, yeah.
What's the, how can people help? How can people get involved?
People can go to our website, the www.farmvetco for Farmer Veteran Coalition, www.farmvetco.org. They could check out our website. They could write us at info@farmvetco. They could contact us. The phone number is to our Davis office, and mailing address are there. They could. We want to hear from farmers and food industry people who are willing to mentor, who are willing to take young men and women under their wings, who are willing to give them jobs. Folks who are willing to help us out financially, and most of all, we want to hear from the young men and women who have come out of the military who are interested in a career in farming, or maybe they've already entered one and just haven't heard about us and want to connect up.
And what are your personal goals and dreams with this initiative? Where do you see yourself in?
My personal goal, Helga, is that, you know, as someone who spent 40 years in production agriculture, you know, there's a lot of people don't realize there's a movement. There's a movement of young people going into agriculture that blossomed into the slow food movement and the big event here in San Francisco last year, and that has exploded the numbers of farmers markets around the Bay Area and California, and it's a epicenter, and there's many of them across the country. But there's a movement where actually the first time possibly in the history of the country where there's actually been an increase in the total number of farmers, and it's represented by young people going into agriculture. You know, I've been around long enough that I actually saw a previous movement called that. It was called the Back to the Land movement, and it was the late 60s, early 70s, and it was a little bit in response to the, definitely in response to the war in Vietnam.
And the oil crisis.
Right, but most people didn't stay in it. You know, of the 50 or 100 friends I had that went into farming at that time, 20 years later and 30 years later, I was the only one that was still in production agriculture. And you know, so my concern, you know, my hope is that we can find out of this pool, out of these 2 million young men and women who have served overseas, that we can find candidates who will not only get into farming, but can stick with it.
Which is such an interesting thought. And you're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. You just said that the movement in the late 60s, early 70s, the Back to the Land movement, in a way, it was against establishment. It was a movement away from the system as we had it. The difference to me right now seems that this movement is actually becoming part of the establishment, like changing the system from within, which is the only true change you can really create if you're part of it. So, What is your thought on that?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly, because I mean there's something that I feel so pro-American and pro-farmer, even when, you know, when I hear people and the condemnation of the American farming system, you know, I a little bit bristle. I actually identify with the farmer, and I go, wow, you know, there's 6 million people to feed, you know, and it's not done perfectly, even though I've been a leader and a pioneer in organic farming for 40 years. You know, I still have this certain defense of the, you know, and feel like, well, my role is to actually do it better where people will copy and emulate. And I remember going down with the own vice president of Marin Organics. Todd Coons had started the first organic farm in Salinas and hired me on to be his farm manager in 1990. And that was like getting called up to the major leagues, you know. I mean, Salinas is mythic in the world of farming. And you know, there was like five kinds of lettuce, cauliflower, broccoli, celery, and strawberries that was in this the most, you know, fertile valley in the country. And everybody was farming the same things with the same fertilizers, the same varieties and the same distance. And we came down with this entire different, you know, set of crops and way of growing it and certified organic, which nobody knew anything about. And the idea of treating labor fair, which was like unheard of, and just kind of turned things up on the end. And I remember my first day of harvest after coming back from Imperial Valley, where we grew in the winter in maybe 93 or 92 or 93 on a Saturday morning in a field nestled back behind some trees in Hollister. And I got the crew down, started down the rows, and I'd put one worker who was with me the previous year on one row and somebody new on the next row and then alternated down them and sent them down the row. And I stepped back just to admire and feel good about it. And I almost bumped into an elderly man who was George Tanimura, who's
Tanimura and Antle,
the biggest produce company in North America, or competes with Dole, go back and forth, and said, you know, I mean, it was six, can I help you? He says, oh, I'm just out for a Saturday morning drive. And, you know, I just felt like that's the role I've enjoyed, is that, you know, what we're finding out in business now is that treating labor right pays off, that recycling pays off, that taking care of the earth pays off. And it's no longer a time to be us against them. It's a time to point the way and to lead the way. This is our chance.
Beautiful. Michael O'Gorman, I could talk for another hour, if not a week. Thank you so much for coming in today. We had a caller that is letting us know that the book by Mary Tillman is called Boots on the Ground by Dusk. Mary Tillman telling the story of her son, Pat. Boots on the Ground by Dusk. Well, it is my hope, and you mentioned that, yes, it's no longer us against them, as we're all in this together in one way or another. And the notion of food insecurity, you know, the greatest sadness would be to see if we one day need weapons to defend our organic carrots. So I hope we can follow the leadership of people like Warren Weber and Todd Coons and many, 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 many others in this amazing movement, and come from a place of abundance and sharing and one another. So that about wraps it up for this week's edition of An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. Thank you again, Michael.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Beautiful work. Michael O'Gorman, Project Director of the Farmer Veteran Coalition. Tell people the website one more time to get involved.
www.farmvetco, farmvetco, short for farmerveterancoalition.org.
Yeah, that's farmvetco.org. Again, thanks for coming in on this beautiful Saturday morning. Producer of An Organic Conversation is Jen Lloyd. Underwriting production provided by Mark Van Gelder. Music producer is Terrence Smith. And your phone calls were taken by Tim Cruz. Thank you for that. And also always thanks to the team here at Green 960, Chelsea Mauck, John Scott, and John Plessis. And of course, thank you, our listeners, for being part of the show every week. Please send us your comments and questions to share@anorganicconversation.com. That's share@anorganicconversation.com. And please tune again next week. For podcasts and more information, visit our website, anorganicconversation.com. Coming up next is Gavin Newsom Show. Please stay put. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg. Have a great weekend, and thanks again for listening to An Organic Conversation. This is the sound of love.
On the air, online, and on demand. This is KKGN and KKGN HD, Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose. This is Green 960.